questions? Just so if you want to, can I have your full name?
Yeah, Chief Sammy Young.
Chief Sammy Young, you're from Wabasca, the...
Wabasca, Big Stone Band.
Big Stone. How long has this reserve been in existence? Can you remember?
At the time of the treaties, it was about 1899.
And who signed it?
Well, Chief Joseph Bickstone signed the treaties, and he was the first chief as a lifetime chief.
In 1899?
Yeah.
Now, can you remember anything from your father telling you how this land used to be before the white influence?
Not really, not really. I don't remember too much of what my dad told me, but at that time, when the treaties were signed, and the people that live in... This is the reason why we have 5 reserves in Wabasca area. They're apart from each.
Mm-hmm.
166 and one A, B, C, and D. Now, at that time, the people that were living in this land didn't want to get away from that land. And this is why Chief Bickstone says, well, okay, we will make a reserve. So wherever you choose a land, was we're going to tell anybody to get out. And this is why we have 5 reserves in here. Each families live in this reserve and do like the land. And this is the reasons why these reserves are separate from part to part.
What was their main livelihood? How did they live?
Well, their livelihood was trapping and fishing. That was their only livelihood. But at that time, I don't think they realized that the population will grow up. And this is why we got some big reserves, some small ones. That was a low thinking of the people at that time, that the population wouldn't grow up. Now we're fully populated in the Big Stone Band. We're 1,400 subjects in the Big Stone Band. Now, if these people at that time think that the Indian people would populate them, more population, maybe they would have taken more land. But the government at that time knows that the people, there'll be more population than Indian people, but they never told them to the people.
Mm-hmm. They never told them. What kind of entertainment did the trappers enjoy, or the old Indian folk enjoy before white people came in?
The only entertainment that they had at that time was their culture of, you know, we call it the powwow. And I think that was the only entertainment. And we got one thing that the people believe in there, and I think it belongs to the Indian people as of a religious sin. That was handed down from generation to generation. And these songs that they sang, it wasn't really entertainment, it was a religious kind of thing. And you can find this in an encyclopedia. It states the Indian song. And it's in the books. And this is religion. And these songs that they sang, my dad sings them, and these old folks that are just about all left us now.
Mm-hmm.
And these songs were handed down through the spirit into their dreams. It was handed down from generation to generation. My dad sang these songs that he never seen his grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
But he still knows them songs. It was handed down from generation to generation, maybe 1600s, 1700s. But they still, these sounds still exist right after today. And this was the religious kind of thing that the people, before the white man come in here, they know there was a God. But they had to have something of some kind of religious. And this is why the Indian people still, they still it exists. Yeah. As of today.
What about Indian incense now? I run across some here the other day. And what was that used in their ceremony too?
Yeah, that Indian incense comes from perch. And you light it in, and they use that in their ceremonies at all times. Now when this incense is lit, now there's a fellow that can make that the ceremony talks and kind of preach the young people. Mm-hmm. and the way of God and all these things. Mm-hmm. And it is very, very interesting in our Green language when you hear this people talk just about them, the young people into their minds.
Yeah.
That there is a religion for our tribe.
That was before the RCs come in.
Yeah, that was for the RCs come in, but it still exists.
Can you tell about how you got your name, Youngblood, or Young?
Well, as I told you, my dad was baptized by English Church, by the Bishop Young. And Bishop Young baptized my dad, and he said, "I'll give you my name as Young, of course. I don't know where you exist now." My dad was, his name was Jeremy Young. After the RCs come in, he rebaptized my dad and gave him the name of William Young. Therefore, I baptize you in the name of the Catholic Church, and you are a Catholic now. So therefore, my dad and mom were Catholics before, and his will were brought up, and we were brought up in a mission, all of us.
So he was really clean then, eh?
He must be, I don't know.
Now, tell me, Sam, who did you sell your furs to when you trapped? Like, who did the people sell their furs to? Who bought the most?
The Hudson Bay.
Hudson Bay.
The Hudson Bay and the Rivians. Rivians.
Rivian Brothers.
Rivian Brothers, they were here. Now, there were two stores in here, Rivians and Hudson Bay. Now, my dad, this is the way I was brought up in the bush, and this is the way we survived, because my dad was a trapper and a hunter and whatnot, and he sold his furs to Hudson Bay all his life, I think. And after Hudson Bay would think, "No thanks for you." Because he sold thousands and thousands of dollars to the Hudson Bay in order for us to survive as a family of 11. Mm-hmm.
The Rivian brothers were here. Did you know that in Gruard, they had that whole area marked out and town plans made? You ever see those maps?
No, I never did see maps of Gruard.
Yeah, I've got maps of Gruard. I should have brought them with me. Mm-hmm. That whole town was already all planned out and sectioned off, and all that land was bought by the Rivian brothers. Now I wonder if they've ever bought any around here.
Well, I got the maps of, as I showed you there in the middle map, I got a map of 166. That should belong to the RC. At that time, there was no reserve, but they were operating in that land. Mm-hmm. Now in my map it says so many acres in there. That's the land of the Irish. And there was another, in that same reserve, there's 2.1 acre, I think, or 2.2 acres in there. That belongs to the Hudson Bay. Now, but nobody can prove where is them acres was. The stakes are not there. That must happen in 1800s. Mm-hmm. Or 1915, or before the First World War. But them stakes are not there, so therefore I don't know who can prove it, if these things belongs yet to them.
To Hudson Bay and the RCs?
Yeah.
Well, how did the RCs get that land anyways?
Well, they were there first before the reserve was taken by Joseph Bigstone.
They were there already. So you don't know where, if the government gave them that land or what, eh?
I don't know, but it's still states in my map that that belongs to the RC and to the Hudson. But how can they prove it when you don't find the stakes in there?
Did your people drift in from another area to here before the white people came in?
No, I think most of them were born in here. I don't think they drift in from any other place. The people usually travel wherever their livelihood was available to them.
Yeah.
They can travel from here to McMurray and then back again, but they found Wabasca was the most suitable place for a livelihood as of what they did at that time. Mm-hmm. And they chosen this Wabasca and they drifting in here, I guess. And this is where they stayed at the treaties.
Did your people ever encounter the slaveys?
No.
Never?
No, not one of.
Not just in Slave Lake, eh?
Yeah, just in Slave Lake, the stories I heard about it. And maybe the older people down at that line would give you more facts about it. Mm-hmm. But I'm a little young to know all these things. It's not in the books either. I couldn't find it in the books, but the older people around Lesser Slave Lake area maybe would tell you the facts about it.
Yeah. What were the things they told you?
Well, what they told me was the Greeks come into Slave Lake area and then they drove the slaves up north. They didn't get along together. They were a different tribe and start fighting, and then the Cree Indians won the fight, I guess, and time and time again, year after year, and then slowly the 50s as slaves to up north.
This is why Slave Lake is called Slave Lake then?
Yeah, this is the reason why, according to the old people's stories, that Slave Lake, it's got its name.
Mm-hmm.
Was now, slave Indians.
What about Wabasca? What does Wabasca mean?
Well, there's three things. Wabasca means white waves. Wapaskak. And that's what it means now. And Wapaska means also in the late in the fall. You can see the grass turn white, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And another one is Wapaska means a narrows.
Narrows
was in maybe 1,000 years ago or 300 years ago, this was one lake. But now, you see, the narrows would be between the bridge and the other one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The shape like this.
Yeah. It's a narrows. Now, there's three names. So now, I don't know. Now, the white people come here and they call it Wabasca.
Wabasca. You know, I almost thought maybe Wapus would fit in there too somehow, rabbit, you know.
No. I think it means, the true meaning is, I think it's a narrows, which
yeah.
At one time was one lake. Now we call it North Wabasca and South Wabasca.
Yeah.
And all that that river in there. that was all water, and it's a narrows.
Yeah.
Now, and also, Wapas cow means white waves.
White waves.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the true name then.
Maybe that's a true name, that's what I think.
Yeah, it sounds, would sound more like it.
Yeah. Wapas cow.
What Wapas about the Indian medicine now? Did they, how did the old Indians look after themselves? There was no doctors around and nothing like that. How did they get their medicine?
Well, the Indian medicine, what was given to the Indians by the spirit or from God, was the medicine that the people could survive, and they took it from the land, and it was handed down to them by the spirit, I guess, and this is why they make this medicine, and this medicine still exists.
Mm-hmm.
And even the doctors use it now,
the roots of
the earth.
Well, do you know some of the roots?
No.
You don't. What about raproot? It seems to be the most important one.
Oh yeah. Well, I know raproot is for the throat or a bit like that, you know. But then
mm-hmm.
You, as of an Indian culture, an Indian way of life. What do you want to know about the earth, the medicine of the earth? You'll have to pay for it. Not in cash. The most important is tobacco first. And then you can give anything, any article,
mm-hmm.
what you think is worth
mm-hmm.
at that time. But they still do it. I think Chief Smallboy, really is in good attitudes too. That's an Indian way of life, and
mm-hmm.
they still hold these medicines to the people, which sometimes there's a medicine for every sickness according to Indian life.
Yeah.
Which the doctors don't even know.
So even if you want to cure yourself, you'd have to go and see him, but you have to pay for him.
Mm-hmm.
Pay for it.
All it takes is, well, the most important thing to Indian people is tobacco first.
Tobacco. Then,
yeah. But any article that you can even.
And who is this to Small Boy?
Well, Small Boy's camp, you know.
That's southern Alberta, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. The man that is a chief Small Boy from Hupima that skipped away from his reserve.
Yeah, and he's living in the mountains now.
Living in the mountains. And I think this is the best place, and there's some people also exist in South Dakota.
Mm-hmm. Well, did a lot of these medicines come from the south through the Indians?
No.
Up here? Or didn't they have their own here? Like
they have their own up here, up north. Because what grows up north doesn't grow south.
Yeah. That's
and,
right.
And they have to have their own medicines as well as north.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you believe in?
Well, what was the medicine man called here? What would he be known as? Just a medicine man?
Well, just a medicine man.
Do you have one here now?
I don't think so. Not the one I can believe in.
Because if there was one, I'd go and see him and talk to him and offer him some tobacco. I got some bad pains in my chest I need fixing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to white doctors and it doesn't help.
No, the best place to go is at the mountain stairs, Small Boy. And they do steam bath in there too.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And this is very, very, very a good medicine for a person.
Mm-hmm.
I never tried it. I was tried it myself, but maybe someday I'll go down there.
Mm-hmm. When you make your approach to a medicine man that knows these secret roots and things like that, do you just come right out and say, "Here's some tobacco," or you talk first?
Well, you go to this medicine man, whoever you think he is, you'll hear about it from other people. Now, go in there very nicely and have lots of respect for him
mm-hmm.
and believe in him. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe in it, you don't do any good.
Yeah.
You'll have to believe in it. And then he'll realize that you believe in it, okay. If you really believe in it, I will try my utmost to try and cure you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the way the Indian way of.
And these cures were handed through the Great Spirit.
It was handed down to the Indian people before the white man came in.
I believe that. Definitely believe that. Well, what do you think now of the RC's influence towards the, let's say, the young people now? Do you think that the young people believe in them now, or are they going to be searching for something more true? What do you feel?
Well, I think the Indian people, it's up to them. They're going to search more on what religion they want to belong to. The RCs, I think, they influenced the people too much and little too much of hypocrisy, I'd say. Now, at that time, as of my knowledge, because I was raised in the mission, when the social credit was in power for a long, long time, it was at that time that the RCs really got the money from the government. Now today, we got a different government, and they're not looking at the RCs as of the years back. This is the reason why the RCs are dropping down. And dropping down, and they really are. And the way we were looked at as Indian people by the RC at that time was just nice. Now they don't even look at Indians, the way I look at it as of today.
They won't look?
Maybe. All what they look at was money. Now lots of RCs are the Sisters of Charity, we used to call them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see where the charity was at that time. Now they're dropping off and they're quitting as a sisters, and they're not even dressed up like we used to be.
How did the old people accept them?
Well, as I said today, they accept these people because they believe in them, because these people were highly educated people. And then they go down to a person of low moral, believe in me. And this is the right track that you'll follow all through your life, and also your children. Well, surely, an Indian fellow, he doesn't really believe, but he believe in this, just to survive his children. Was there? He hold a mission, and this is where I was brought up, and my parents put me into that mission. So I believed in them, because I was just a little kid, and no doubt.
Yeah.
I have to follow what my parents put me through, because I believe in my parents first. You put me in there, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't let you down. It was honor thy father and thy mother, as they say in the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, today, the parents and the children are lost. Okay. As of today now, you might as well say, honor thy son and thy daughter.
So it's just a complete reverse then, eh?
Vice versa.
Vice versa. Do the Indians still smoke fish and dry meat and everything today?
Yeah, we do around here.
What kind of meat? Moose meat and vegetables?
No, mostly meat, and sometimes rabbits and fish. We got the domestic license from Indian Affairs to fish them.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to pay for that. But anytime we want fish, we eat fish.
Go down to the lake and get it, I guess.
Yeah.
What about Hudson Bay now? Did they always get fair deals?
Yes. No, it's not because I'm dealing with Hudson Bay. I got my groceries from Hudson Bay, but I think Hudson Bay, he's been dealing with Indian people. Well, they like your money too, you know, but they won't give nothing for nothing.
But they'll take something for nothing if they can.
Oh yeah, yeah. Mostly Hudson Bay look at these pensioners and the people that get relief. Mm-hmm. I buy my groceries in cash. I got credit in Hudson Bay, but I always pay my bills every month. But they look at the people, just the way I seen it is as of my days, I'm 51 years old, and I think they're not any worse than they were before.
They're not any worse.
No. I think they're better at this time. Because years back, you only buy for from the people. Therefore, they make two profits. Mm-hmm. You got more for your fur, and you got more for your groceries. I mean, what you sell.
Did the Indians ever have to stack up their furs here to get a rifle one time?
Oh yes, that was in 1700s, I think. I hear lots of stories about it, and Hudson Bay really, when they heard these stories about the old times, I think they're of course, they're not the people that did it, but about 30, 40, 50 beaver for one gun.
I wonder what the price of a gun would be then, at that time.
Well, let's see now. At that time, the fur was not cash. Price. And I don't know how I don't
it
know
was
how
to, trade, wasn't it?
It was trade, yeah. It was trade.
In other words, if one blanket of beaver maybe got you a blanket.
No, one piegahtai. That one's one fur. That was it in our Cree language. One fur. One fur means 35 cents. For one beaver.
35 cents?
Yeah, that's in our Cree language. One beaver, piagahtai means, piagahtai, one fur. Mm-hmm. That's amount to 35 cents. According to the stories of the old timers.
So if one fur cost 35 cents and you had to give them 40 furs for a gun, the gun would cost 18 dollars.
$18, something like that, yeah. But what did they get when they shipped this fur to England? About $100 for its belt.
When the Hudson Bay shipped it, they got $100 for it.
At least.
Wow.
At least $100 or $200.
So a rifle actually then would have cost
about $3,000.
$3,000 for one musket.
Musket, yeah.
Musket. That's what they used.
And it's a long gun, about 6 feet.
Yeah. Wow, $3,000 for one musket. And yet they were only getting 35 cents for a fur.
For one belt, yeah.
One belt. What a ripoff.
Sure. This is where Hudson Bay built Hudson Bay. It was through England. He come from England.
They really gave the Revlon brothers a hard time, I guess.
Yes, they did. They really they bought them off, but they were getting too big. It was Revlon brothers belong to France. He come from France.
Yeah.
And we had a store in here too at that time. But they bought the whole Alberta.
Hudson Bay Company.
Hudson Bay bought Rivias in Alberta. They might exist in Quebec, I don't know.
And they had the town of Gruard all planned out. I wonder if they ever had Wabasca ever sectioned off and towned off too?
No, not the one off. No, they had a store in here, as I remember, as a kid, right by, just passing it, this Hudson Bay here, just mm-hmm. little was there, by the graveyard there. Mm-hmm. There was a Rivio store in there in my time. But they were bought off. I don't know when. I think that would happen about the 1930s. 1930 or 1935. That's when we bought off. I'm not really exact year on that.
Yeah. And do your people, like the women, do they still tan moose hides and everything?
Yeah, they still tan moose hides in here as natural way. They used to do it years back, and we got a tannery in here, in our reserve. Mm-hmm. And they're still working on this on selling magazines and such.
Yeah.
And they still do it not chemical or anything. They just do it like they used to do it years back.
Yeah.
And it's still natural.
It's the best way.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of the white people really influencing your people here, I guess they've pretty well stabilized, eh?
Yeah, they're really stabilized like the old times. And we don't want to lose this culture.
Yeah. Do you still have powwows here?
Not really. The Wabasca is just about gone on powwows. We never had a powwow here for the last year or so.
Well, what about tea dances?
Well, that's a powwow too. Yeah. We call it the same way.
Well, what's stopping you from reorganizing a powwow?
Nothing too much. Nothing too much. But nobody's interested in that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to have a wigwams, and a wigwams are just about nailed too.
Yeah.